Let's get things rolling right out of the box this afternoon as we get on board the G&M Family Market phone line. And welcome back to the program, our friend Gary Tangway from Comcast Sportsnet New England. Mr. Tangway, good day, sir.
Hey, Richie, how are you? What's going on? Just call me Astros Dad.
So that's your nickname. That's what it would be, huh?
You know, everybody down here, excuse me, I have a bit of a cold if I sound weird, but more stranger than usual. Everybody down here is ripping Price for it. I think it's rather creative. I mean, Doug Fister, so, okay, his nickname is Fist. Oh, geez, how did he come up with that?
That's very creative.
Astro's dad is pretty creative, and I always felt, I don't know about you, Rich, but Astro and Scooby-Doo, they were like cousins, right?
They should have been, yeah. I mean, they both had that same speech pattern, right?
They did, Roro George. So, I mean, it's like Price saying that he's George Jetson, or that he's actually the, you know, the canine father.
Well, somebody pointed out, though, he does have an actual human child.
Is the kid, yeah, I know. Is the kid named Astro?
I don't think so, no.
Jeez. Hey, nothing surprised me with that guy. But anyways, you know, anytime you put a cartoon into the equation, you know, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was different. It was different. Just everybody hates him.
and I get that too. Although, to me, it's in some ways with some of the fans, it's a bit of a self-fulfilling prophecy here, because some of these Boston fans want to wear this as a badge of honor. This is such a tough town. It's only for the strong. You can't make it here if you're weak. Well, that doesn't help you when you're looking for free agents down the road.
Well, yeah. Oh, Richie, I mean, the Boston fans have always been extremely self-important. You know, whether it goes back to, you know, the Fellowship of the Miserable and they're ruining our summer and, you know, we'll never win. Maybe this will be the year, you know, I mean, that, and now, yeah, they want to be the badass. Oh, there's no question. They're psycho.
And I want Price to pitch really, really well, first and foremost, so they have that gnawing sense that, God, I don't want to cheer for him, but I have to.
Oh, I want him to pitch well, too. You know, because you just want to see, you know, whether the guy is just a mopey bastard. I mean, what can I tell you? I mean, you don't want to go to dinner with him. You know, he's got some issues. But everybody loves good pitching. So, you know, but, you know, that stuff he pulled off with Eck he lost me on that. You know, I just believe that you got to have a little respect. You know, I mean, Eck is one of the greatest guys. Have you ever met him?
I have not. No.
He's the best. I mean, he's one of those guys that treats everybody. I mean, everybody the same. And, you know, and he's a Hall of Famer, and he's battled adversity. And then Price, you know, what a jerk. You're telling Dennis Eckersley to get the F out of here. Dennis Eckersley, who, you know, won a Cy Young as a reliever after he reinvented his career, and also gave up the biggest home run bomb in the history of the World Series. I mean, you know, Gibson. So here's a guy that's been in a play that acts completely sucks, but yet he's won a World Series. So you want to talk about a guy with balls, you know?
Yeah.
He's battled alcoholism, and, you know, Eck is like, he's battled stuff. And this guy, Price, you know, I'd like him to pitch well, but he's just a bully. Yeah. You know, I mean, go after Dennis Eck. Like, come on, dude.
So this team's doing pretty well. 8 straight wins, putting a little distance between themselves and the Yankees. Who's the MVP of this bunch?
Well, I think it's Sale. You know, the new guys have come on and done well. You know, Devers and Nunez. But I think it's the pitcher. I think that Chris Sale, what's he had, one bad outing this year, I believe. I think it's him. Maybe you could say Kimbrel, I suppose. You know, but I mean, is there one? I don't think there's one offensive player, right, that's really, you know, Mookie's not hitting what he hit last year. Dustin, you know, but Petey for a while, Pedroia was playing well, but he can't stay healthy. You know, Bogaerts hasn't hit for power overall. So I'd go with the pitcher. I'd go with Sale.
Yeah, I think I'd agree with you on that. And John Farrell, everybody loves to hate him, and yet here they are in first place. And I have to say, in that, again, it was only the White Sox last weekend, but they made some pretty good moves in that series.
Oh, yeah, that guy will never get credit. You know, for whatever reason, he's just, I mean, even if they win the World Series again this year, if they win the World Series, they'll say that, you know, they won in spite of him. You know, they bought the World Series, they spent all that money. Yeah, he just, you know, like, that's been my point this year. I've said to some of the baseball guys, you know, like Bradford or Lou, I go, like, Lou hates Farrell. But I'm like, but this year, guys, I mean, he couldn't be manager of the year? I mean, what's going on? And it's true, Rich. It's absolutely true.
When you say that,
he'll never get his due.
When you say that, does Lou's head spin completely around?
Yeah. And you know, they've gone at it before. You know, they've had their moments behind closed doors. And, of course, you got to understand Lou. You know, watching a if you're watching a baseball game with Lou, you're not watching a baseball game. You're watching Lou watch the baseball game because that is entertaining. He's a feisty Italian who lets it rip, and it's hilarious.
Gary Tagway with us here on Downtown. Tonight's the first exhibition game for the Patriots. A lot of the big stars will not see any action tonight. I want to get fired up. I want to be excited for this. It's hard for me to care, especially about exhibition game number one.
Well, nobody does. You know, if you have season tickets, you give these away to the babysitter. it's chance. You know, and the preseason games aren't even as important as they used to be with all these, you know, combined practices. Coaches will tell you they get more done in the combined practices than they do in a preseason game. You know, for this game, it's Garoppolo. He's stunk so far this year. And the pressure's on him a little bit, you know, the pressure's on him a lot, actually, where, I mean, Bill Belichick, whether he likes it or not, has made this guy like the Messiah in waiting. And if he doesn't play well, I think he's putting pressure on himself, to be honest with you. But he's never played well in the preseason. You know, he never has. But he's been exceptionally bad this year, and I just have to think the kid is thinking, okay, I know I'm supposed to take over for Tom Brady. And that's just a different mindset when you expect yourself to play at the level of Brady as opposed to just saying, well, I'm the backup, and I'm just going to, you know, kind of do the best I can. I think Garoppolo is worth watching.
Speaking of quarterbacks, can they afford to carry three guys on the roster this year?
That's a good question, and that's pretty telltale if they do. You know, if they keep Jacoby around, then why? You know, is Jimmy going to be moved? You know, and they like Jacoby's potential. They really do. But yeah, I don't know if I think he's going to show something, Rich. Yeah, I think Jacoby, who I liked when I saw him play, I thought he had some stones for playing hurt. You know, he's got to show him something in training camp for them to want to carry three quarterbacks.
What will your lasting memory be, Gary, of Vince Wilfork?
In a tree behind his house, building a treehouse for his kid. In overalls.
Wow, with no shirt underneath.
No shirt underneath. That is Vince. Or another one was Vince used to come in the studio before he became a big star, and he'd show up a little early. He'd go, I'm going to go in the studio. I'm fine. I said, you need anything? No. And I'd go in, and Vince would take a nap in one of those chairs for like 20 minutes. And he would say, all right, Vince, ready to do the show, and he'd wake up. So those two things, and obviously having nothing to do with football.
Hey, so tonight, will you be wearing a striped shirt, carrying a whistle in case Jeff Howe and Felger go at it again?
Boy, I'll tell you, those beat writers are so sensitive. I guess if somebody calls me a bitchy beat writer, I'd probably take issue to that too. But, you know, beat writers, they're really sensitive. And I don't blame them, because the beat writers are the guys that give the talk show hosts all the information, you know? And it's, you know, when you're a beat writer, you have to, you know, kind of like being a play-by-play guy, you have to play both sides. You can't be totally critical all the time, because then no one will talk to you. You got to walk that fine line. And I think that Howe finds it frustrating, because all Felger has to do, or me for that matter, get behind a microphone and yell and scream. And, you know, we're not going down and asking questions. So I think that's where the frustration comes in with Jeff. So I think they'll be all right. I know Felger's fine because Felger doesn't take any of that seriously. But Howe, I'm not so sure.
Have you given Felger an appropriate level of grief for the piece in the Sunday Globe?
Oh, my God. Puke-inducing, a doting dad. Sarah, the wood, he's really a love bug. I'm like, God, please. You know, I mean, he was totally deserving of the article. I mean, Mike has done an unbelievable job with the ratings on his radio show. And present company excluded Rich. I think he's the best sports talk show host in America. I think I put him up. Francesca's tired, you know, but I think Mike is unbelievable. He's a machine. When they talk about Felgie, the family man, we all kind of just chuckle.
Well, I'll tell you what, I don't get to hear him a lot because of this time slot, but a lot of times I'll catch some of the first hour of the show. What I like about him is I find that most of the time it's done with a little bit of humor and it's not terribly personal. And I don't think he believes it all. It's not as mean-spirited as it gets with some people in town there.
No, I mean, Minahan's going there. I mean, Minahan's taking names and, you know, keeping score. But, you know, Felger's self-deprecating. He will tackle any issue, and he will, you know, criticize anybody. But, you know, he's very, you know, he's the first one to say that he screwed up. He's the first one to say, I got it wrong. But he's a maniac behind the microphone. He just doesn't quit. Then he comes in here and does another hour. I mean, God, I'm just exhausted watching him.
Who's on tonight on the early edition?
Lou Maloney, and we'll be checking in with our guys in Foxborough and Curran and Giardi and Phil Perry and get you game ready for that dynamite preseason game that no one is going to watch.
I can't wait for it all tonight. Hey, Gary, always great to talk with you. Appreciate you making time for us. We'll be watching tonight.
All right, Richie. See you soon.
You bet. It's Gary Tanguay, Comcast SportsNet on downtown.